Well, good morning and welcome to Grace. I'm Pastor Ryan. Today marks the beginning of the Advent season at our church, and we will be attempting to take a fresh look at Christmas by examining the mystery of God's design for His love for the world through the sending of His Son. Thanks for joining us this morning as we look at the story of the angel Gabriel's message to Mary concerning God's plan for His Son. We will see how Mary's questions and response can help inform how we too may respond to God's call.
Can you remember back to when, or if you still have kids in your home, when you would tell them these fine words, clean your room? Do you remember that? How do they respond to that? Pick up your clothes. Aren't you glad the kids are in church right now? Aren't you glad? Do your chores, right? I can remember in the dark winter months, my absolute favorite day was Saturday morning, because back when I was a kid, you only had three channels on TV. And what were we watching on Saturday morning, you guys? That's right. My favorite cartoon was Garfield. I don't know why. That was my favorite one. So I would look forward to it. Got my jammy pants on. My sister's still asleep, so I don't have to fight with her. And I'm watching Saturday morning cartoons. Now, my dad, he's been up for 3 hours already, and he's out in the shop, and he's busy. And I'd hear him like a gorilla coming in the door, stomping the snow off his boots, and then the most dreaded words I could ever hear. Ryan, let's go. Get your boots on. Oh, man. That was the worst. That was the worst because I wanted to watch Garfield. I wanted to sit in my jammy pants. I wanted to do what I wanted to do. I wasn't real interested in doing what he wanted me to do. And so I would ask him the most dreaded question, which was, why? Why do you want me to put my boots on? My dad not always excelled in patience, but I can see now as an adult the importance of the compliance that flows from a son to his father. And I just think of how this relates to us, not just when we were kids, but maybe as adults, and maybe not just in our relationships with each other, but what about our relationship with God? What does your heart resonate with when God speaks to you through His word? When God speaks to you through the leading of His Spirit, hey, let's go. And are you like me, still busy with your own plans, your own comforts, your own strategies, your own savings account, whatever that might be that you have planned your way? How do you and I respond? Because I'll tell you, one of the things that I struggle with is needing an answer to that curious question, well, why? Well, why does God ask of me to love my enemies? Why does God ask of me to seek reconciliation? Why does God ask these difficult things of me? To be a witness to people who don't want to hear anything about Him. To be a light to my family members who only want to judge. Why, God? Why? I'd like for us to take a little step back here as we begin into this season of Advent, because if you're anything like me, I know you're used to it, right? You got boxes of decorations at your house, right? Did your wife make you put those out? She did all the work at our house. But, right, are we not used to this? Is this not somewhat routine? I want us to take a step back, because there's something that's easily missed in the familiarity of the Christmas season, and that is the wonder. It is the mystery of it all. It is the how does this even happen? Why does this even happen, God? It is the mystery of God sending His Son for you and for me. And so this morning we're going to begin just of really just dipping our toe in the water, because I promised a short message. I've got 3 minutes left. Short little dip our toe in the water, right? Introducing this new series, but if you would turn with me to Luke's Gospel. I'd like for us to just see Mary's response. For the angel is going to come with an announcement. The angel is going to come with a "let's go, Mary, get your boots on" moment for her. And I believe that there's something in her response that we can learn from today. So that when God speaks to you through His word, when God speaks to you through His Spirit, that we might be prepared, understanding that there's more to this story than the simple routine of the Christmas season. so that you and I might see God's love extended to sinners like you, sinners like me, that he would use us. This is Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 26. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son. And you are to give him the name Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." And then the angel left her. I want to begin with just a couple of observations in this story. The first concerning Mary, it's not easy to miss. Mary is chosen by God. Mary is chosen by God because God wanted to use her. Now, I want to be careful with this. This isn't some form of like utilitarian usefulness. No, this is specially select. God has chosen Mary for this task. You read it twice in the text this morning. The angel says that she is highly favored in verse 28. It also repeats in verse 30, "You have found favor with God." God wanted to use Mary. Secondly, what God says seems impossible to Mary's ears. What God says is going to happen from Mary's perspective is impossible. Now, and actually, if we step back and look at this text, there is a lot that the angel says. In fact, I listed it out here. If you take a look starting here in verse 31, you'll see the first thing the angel declares is that she's going to become pregnant and give birth. But then the angel goes on to say about her son that he will be great. He'll be called the Son of the Most High. That he will be given David's throne. That he will reign over the house of Jacob. And that his kingdom will never end. All of that is what the angel says. But what's the one thing Mary heard? Back up a minute. I'm going to get what now? What's going to happen? I got to imagine from the angel's perspective, all the rest of that, the rule over the house of Jacob, the kingdom that will never end of David's throne, that all in my mind, I would imagine, is the more difficult accomplishment that has to happen. But what's the thing that Mary keys in on? How am I going to become pregnant? Sounds impossible. Utterly impossible. It's not going to work. How's this going to work, God? I don't know what your plan is, but certain things need to happen before this is going to work. So we're just going to hold on to that for a minute. That sometimes what God asks seems impossible. It obviously did to Mary's ears because she only says two things. And the first thing she says is, "How is this going to happen? How is this to be?" in verse 34. Third observation I want you to see is that even in the mystery of it all, Mary submits to God. So what kind of explanation did she get? Did she get a doctor referral? Did they take an x-ray? Did they plan out how long it would take? Did she get any of those questions answered? No. In fact, the angel continues with something that might seem a little more cryptic. The power of the Holy Spirit. Most High will overshadow you. Oh, like normal. Okay, that's how that works. Yeah. Like, I am pretty sure that that explanation did not fully satisfy Mary's concerns. But yet, even in mystery, even without all of her questions answered, do you know what she says? Take a look again in the text. Verse 38. Mary says, I am the Lord's servant. And then I love this next line. May it be to me as you have said. Not how she might understand it. It's complete submission to God's plan. Mary doesn't need to know how it's going to work. Frankly, nobody knows how this works. How does God become man? The very best theologians, and this is how you can tell you have a good theologian, because they will be humble enough to say, it's a mystery. We can invent some fancy $5 words like hypostatic union and theotokos to try to put some definition behind this. But how does that work? Nobody knows how this works. And so even in mystery, don't lose this. Church, don't lose this observation. Mary submits. Now, I'm willing to bet none of you have had an angel come to you and say you're going to carry the Son of God. That hasn't happened to anybody here? Probably not. So whatever's being asked of Mary in her modeling of submission is already a higher, more difficult task than those things that God asks of us. So I want to give us just a few conclusions we can draw from this to live by. Things that were true in Mary's day, things that are also true today. The first is that the first mystery of Jesus' advent is its personal implications. There's a lot of mysteries that we're going to look at through these next couple coming weeks. The scripture is replete with definitions for the mystery that God has kept hidden in ages past, but has now revealed through his Son. We're going to look at those. But the first place, the first mystery, when Mary says, how is this going to be? Is resting upon what it will do to her. You guys track with me on this? This is not a God's doing something for someone else over there. This is not a, I don't have to worry about it because it's not going to affect me. No, this is your life will never be the same again. Your whole world will change forever. The first mystery of Jesus' advent are its personal implications. Secondly, to receive Jesus is to receive a miracle. It's, I think, God's mercy and kindness that he gives Mary a sign. And I think Elizabeth, her aunt here, is a sign that here Elizabeth is going to be, though barren, in her sixth month. And the beautiful line, do you see it in your Bible there, verse 37? For nothing is what? Nothing is impossible for God. I wonder if you can think to your own life. What would your life be like without Jesus? What is there of goodness in your life that merits God's affection? If you're honest, you'll say nothing. If you're a liar, you'll say, I'm a good person. In comparison to your neighbor, maybe you are a good person, but in comparison to God's law, you and I don't deserve his mercy. And so to receive Jesus in Mary's circumstance is to receive a miracle. Guess what? The same is true for me and you. Jesus tells this rich young man to sell all that he has. You guys remember the story? This guy thought really highly of himself, but he had a lot of wealth. He placed his hope in wealth. Well, how about you? How are you living your life, orchestrating your life? Where is your hope resting? Because the disciples were listening to Jesus when he tells the rich young ruler, go and sell all you have. Give it to the poor. And the young man, he goes away sad because he had great wealth. But the disciples then go to Jesus and they're like, hey, that's a really hard teaching. And Jesus then says, it's going to be easier to put a camel through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Amen? Does everybody see this? Do you feel this in the wealth and the riches of our age? I'm not sure if we honestly do or not, because if you miss it, then you'll miss the miracle of what Jesus is going to do in your life. The very last line that Jesus says is, what is impossible for man is possible for God. And if you are honest today, then for you to follow Jesus needs to be met with a, I can't do it. I will mess it up. I will fail at my own expression of following Jesus in righteousness. And that is because I am a sinner who is plagued by sin, living in an unclean, sinful world. And yet God loves you and chose you. Which means that any reception of Jesus in your life is not credit to you. It is a miracle. It is a miracle that you would receive him at all. We see this expressed here in Mary's life. And thankful for this line in verse 37. Nothing is impossible with God. Thirdly, to receive Jesus is to submit to Jesus. I hope that our church is growing in maturity, that each of you here, as week after week, you hear the word of God explained and taught from this pulpit, that from this microphone there is met from your ears down to your spirit a submitted heart, willing to change, willing to follow. You guys with me in that? And yet, you know what? I bet you'd rather watch Garfield. Right? If you're honest, I bet you'd rather stay in your jammies. Like whatever it is that has you in your own little comfortable world. I hope that you and I are both in that progress of maturity saying, God, I do want to submit to your will. I do want to follow you where you lead. In fact, let me just draw your attention back to the text one more time. Verse 38. This is Mary's response in mystery. She says, I am the Lord's what? What's your Bible saying? Servant. Did you know the Greek word here is doulos? It's actually better translated bond slave. Somebody who is giving up their rights. I'm giving up the things that I want to hold to. I'm giving it all up to be yours. I belong to you. We use the word slave to refer to somebody who is owned by another. That's the word Mary uses. Servant we have in English here, but it means so much more than that. It is a full submission. And so I want you to know that the converse of this is also true. That if you don't receive Jesus, that's because you have refused to submit to Jesus. Now there's a big version and then there's little versions of this. There's the big version that's a transfer of kingship in your life. My plea with you is that you would step off the throne of your own heart and that you would let Jesus receive all authority in your life. That you would choose to do that, to bend your knee, to acknowledge with your mouth, he is my Lord. That's the big one. But folks, there's a lot of little versions in your life too. There's a lot of little moments in your day where it's going to be a question of how are you going to respond? Are you going to respond in the flesh according to the way you're comfortable? Or are you going to be willing to follow Jesus and submit to him in every way? Now, who's going to fail at that? Who's going to fail? Come on, Christians, be honest. That's right. And so this is where we fall back again once more in the miracle of God's goodness to choose us. And so let me wrap this up. Here's where I want to leave you today in terms of application. And the reason why I'm making a big deal on this is because I think one of the things that we excel at here at Grace is a development of understanding of the scriptures. I believe that we are all hungry for God's word. Amen? Yes. Okay, that's good. The Bible will say, what good is it if you hear it only? What good is that? Don't be hearers only. Be what? Be doers of God's word and his will in your life. Now, if you get any mulligan on that, it's because this pastor usually fills you up more than with more information than you might need sometimes, right? There might be too many applications, and so I want to give you just one. Just one here. You ready for this? This is this week's assignment. You ready? Here's my question. How do you respond when God says to you, get your boots on? Let's go. How do you respond? And what I want you to do this week is I want you to meditate on the invitation that God would choose you. This is what we see in the story of the angel coming to Mary. God chose Mary. Church, God has chosen you as well. There is a unique, special work that he is preparing and equipping you to do, to serve him, to glorify him. Mary, we see obviously what that was here. I want to challenge you this week. Don't let Monday pass without meditation on this. Don't let Tuesday pass without meditating on this. What does it mean that there's an invitation that God would choose me? Let's pray together this morning.